What If We Show the Mess by Heather Plett. I didn't rake the leaves off the lawn this fall. My climate activist daughter regularly sends me articles about how the dead leaves create biodiversity in the backyard, serving as places for insects, including pollinators, to hibernate, and then in the spring, bringing more birds and flowers to the yard. As for the leaves I needed to clean off the patio and walkway, I built a backyard composter where they can rot into food for the soil. The neighbors on both sides of my yard rake their leaves, so there's a clear line between their property and mine. Crunchy leaves on one side, grass on the other. As much as I believe in more healthy symbiosis with the natural world, I will admit I struggled with the decision not to rake. Nobody wants to be that neighbor, the one whose cluttered yard is talked about in whispered tones because of the way it brings the property values down. Though I don't need it to be pristine, I wanted it to be at least as orderly as the neighbor's. Somebody in our neighborhood once gave their next-door neighbor $500 to temporarily clean the clutter from the yard while their house was up for sale. I recognize how vain this makes me sound, that I would make decisions that would negatively impact the environment based on what the neighbors think. But it's the truth, isn't it? Even when we pretend we're not paying attention to our neighbors, friends, and family, we're always at least somewhat aware of the ways that we stand out, the ways we're seen as odd, and the ways we're judged for not having our lives together. We do it in our neighborhoods, at our schools and workplaces, and online. We don't really grow out of our childhood need to fit in. But change doesn't happen until someone is willing to be the outlier. And so I'll leave my leaves, and if they ask about it, I'll tell them about the insects and the birds. And if my leaves blow onto their lawns, I'll offer to rake them back onto mine. This decision, while a minor one in the grand scheme of things, is making me think about the many ways that we choose to hide our messes so that the neighbors don't see them and so that we conform to the often unspoken collective norms and expectations of the places where we live and work. Even if our lives are messy behind closed doors, we want to project the appearance of having shiny, happy, orderly lives. It's a cultural thing, especially in wealthier Western countries. It's a neighborhood thing, especially in the suburbs. And it's a capitalist thing, especially among those who want others to see that they have the kind of success that is valued within capitalism. In an era of social media, it's even more prevalent, because we are always peeking into the virtual windows of other people's curated lives. Be honest, how often have you moved things out of the frame before you've taken a photo to post on social media? The pressure is real, isn't it? On an interview for a parenting podcast recently, the interviewer asked me to speculate on why, when change is such a constant in our lives, so few of us are truly equipped to handle change in our lives. My answer was some version of this. Change comes with disruption and messiness, and we have been led to believe in our culture that truly successful lives are those without the messiness. When the mess shows up and we don't have control over it, we assume we must be doing something wrong. We are always comparing our own lives to the curated versions of other people's lives. If they don't show their messes, we assume that they don't have messes, but they do. We all do. Life is messy. We break things, we spill things, we hurt people, we get hurt, we get overwhelmed and incapable of the simplest tasks. We get triggered back to the less mature versions of ourselves. We get resentful of our kids who never clean up after themselves. We get angry with ourselves because why didn't we teach our kids better? We get depressed, we get anxious, we fumble, we fail, all of us. What if we showed more of that messiness? What if we divested ourselves of the toxic values systems of capitalism, patriarchy, and white supremacy, and we stopped trying to perform to some ridiculous and unreachable standards of perfection? What if we let our bulges spill out over our jeans, left our leaves on the lawn to make happy homes for the critters, left the dirty dishes in the sink when we're taking photos to share on Instagram, and let people know when it feels like the world is crushing us? What if we agreed to no longer play by the rules that place value on curated lives? What if we invited people into our homes when we haven't dusted the furniture in weeks and then didn't apologize? What if we wrote letters to all of the marketers who try to tell us our lives aren't good enough, and we told them we'd never buy anything from anyone who markets from that kind of manipulative scarcity mindset? Maybe then we'd nap more, play more, eat more, and laugh more. Maybe then we'd crawl around on our hands and knees and stare at the pretty bugs gathering under our scattered leaves. Maybe then we'd lean into new ways of being in relationship where value is placed on presence and not perfection. Maybe then we'd be less hard on ourselves and we'd smile at ourselves when we look in the mirror. Maybe then we'd wake up and realize how much we've been manipulated into the kind of shame and self-judgment that keeps us from being real. People often ask me why it's so hard to hold space for other people when they're going through the mess of the liminal space, and I usually say, when you can become more comfortable with your own mess, then you can become more comfortable with other people's messes. When you stop seeing yourself as someone who needs to be fixed, then you'll stop trying to fix other people. And when you stop believing that you only have value when you're doing something productive and meaningful, then you'll become better practiced at simply being with another person. There is a lot of value in being the kind of friend who is unfazed by the mess, who can sit with someone and deeply listen, seeing through to their heart without being distracted by the things that are out of order. There is a lot of value in being silent when someone needs a listening ear and not advice. There is a lot of value in your presence and your acceptance and your love. And yet, so often we overlook that value and only focus on the value of that which feels more active, productive, and useful. Another question I've been asked a few times on interviews recently, and which seems related, is, what about cancel culture? Can we truly have deep and meaningful conversations and wade into conflict, especially online, when we're all afraid of saying the wrong thing and being canceled? Here are my thoughts on cancel culture. It wouldn't exist if we didn't live in a culture rooted in capitalism and patriarchy that has placed so much value on perfectionism, ease, order, and power. If we hadn't developed the skewed belief system that with the right work ethics, the right thoughts, the right courses, the right purchases, and the right intentions, we can all have perfect, easy lives, we wouldn't be at risk of being canceled. If we all showed our messes more regularly, then we wouldn't have these ridiculous and unattainable standards of perfection that lead to inevitable failure. If we were open and honest about our fumbling and failure, took responsibility for the harm we've done, made amends, and didn't have so much fear of having our messes exposed, then we would no longer be at risk of being torn off the hollow pedestals that were never meant to hold our weight in the first place. Take J.K. Rowling, for example. I believe that if she had truly listened early on when she was first challenged about trans rights, and that she'd been willing to fumble in her attempts to understand what she was being challenged with and make necessary repairs, then I don't think there would have been so many people ready to tear her down. We tear down those who don't live up to our expectations of perfection, expectations that have been skewed by our celebrity-worshipping, humanity-devaluing culture. We also tear down those who don't take responsibility for messing up. We are not meant to be perfect people. None of us are, not even the celebrities our culture elevates to ridiculous heights. We've been manipulated into striving for that perfection, believing it's attainable, idolizing it when we see glimpses of it in others, and spending more and more of our time and money trying to at least create the illusion that we are close to it. It's all a lie. It's a messed up fairy tale that you've been taught since childhood so that you'll spend more of your money on useless things and abdicate your power to those you believe have greater value than you do. It's time to divest of those belief systems and the cultural systems that prop them up. It's time to live more honest and messy lives. It's time to stop trying to fix ourselves and other people. It's time to stop spending money on things that don't truly bring us joy. It's time to stop changing our bodies to meet some ridiculous standards of beauty. It's time to let our leaves rot so that they can nourish new life.